The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson.
And Nanama Mai.
In the headlines, 48th ordinary session of ECOWAS heads of state and governments opens in Abuja, Nigeria. Official inauguration of car partnership postponed due to technical hitches. Soil scientists say waste and illegal mining are putting Ghana soils in serious danger. Another wave of violence erupts at MPP headquarters. And U.S. Federal Reserve raises interest rates by 0.25%, a move likely to affect developing economies. The news in detail. Parliament has approved 761 million cedis to cover the expenditure of the Ministry of Defense for next year. Moving for its approval, the chairman of the Committee on Defense and Interior, Fritz Bafo, said with the pivotal role being played by the ministry, it is imperative that the House approves its entire budgetary allocation. He said when confronted with inadequate funding, there will be long-term adverse effect on the security services to effectively respond to crisis situations. Mr. Bafo requested the Ministry of Finance to find extra budgetary allocation to support the work of the armed forces.
The inability to release the full complement of the first, second and third quarter allocations affected their operation. Furthermore, the committee observed that the new ceilings for goods and services and non-financial asset goods also impacted negatively on routine implements, running of existing equipment and upgrading of facilities. Unavailable need of funds prevented the completion of ongoing housing projects, including the housing and accommodation of personnel in dilapidated bungalows. Very few personnel were sponsored for both local and foreign courses due to budgetary constraints.
Chairman of the Committee on Defense and Interior, Fritz Bafo, a member of the committee, said the chairman was worried about the quantum of debt on the books of the armed forces.
Capacity building is something which is a great effort in the military. And if we are changing our partners' capacity, we are equipped our men and officers in the military with capacity with regard to the department. Equally, we are always in full progress. It is so bad. 5 million Ghana cedis. Since November 2013, as we speak, we are paying 30 million cedis. 53 million. Outstanding rent alone from 2013 to 2016. Over 1 million. We have put up for us. Connected to 7 military hospitals. People will not know that every military person that is going to be there. Yet, we are home. We are utility.
Foreign Prince, a member of the Committee on Defense and Interior, said the chairman. The Minister of Defense, Dr. Benjamin Kumbu, said arrangements have already been made with the Ministry of Finance to provide extra budgetary support.
The Speaker and honorable members should know that the security situation in Africa and globally, and particularly within the context of the West African region, has changed dramatically. While traditional training activities never anticipated asymmetric warfare, that has become the main issue today in our defense reality. In that context, it is intended that our armed forces will be better equipped to prepare adequately to meet any eventuality. the committee is having an evening in the preparatory stages of the budget. Arrangements were made that there will be situations in which extra budget resources will be found to address some of the shortfalls. As we talk today, we have submitted almost all the bills from the Ministry of Defense to the Ministry of Finance, and we ask them to try and address them as much as possible. The real reason for these situations is that you do not know when you have to commit yourself to an expenditure. When the security situation becomes manifest, you cannot wait for the Ministry of Finance, the power structure, and the service sector. But I'm sure by the time 1.5% from the president, your country will be overrun. So there are some exigencies, and I'd like to treat my counterpart that we should be treated a bit more exemplary, so that at least we can be a bit creditworthy, because we cannot refuse to feed our soldiers or clothe them, regardless of whatever the budgetary constraints are.
You heard the Minister of Defense, Dr. Benjamin Kumbuor, also approved where the budget estimates for the Ministries of the Interior, Health, Petroleum and Finance. The Ministry for the Interior got 1.3 billion cedis, while the Health Ministry getting 4.8 billion Ghana cedis. The Ministry of Finance will be using 272 million cedis for the 2016 financial year, while the Ministry of Petroleum will be financed with 40 million cedis.
The car partnership, which is expected to generate 225 megawatts of power, has begun generating 140 megawatts of power from 7 out of the 10 turbines. A source at the Tema port told Radio Ghana that the 3 remaining turbines are expected to be fired on stream by next week Friday. The source says there are a few technical works still ongoing on the bud to get it fully operational. The official inauguration of the bud this Friday has therefore been postponed due to the technical works and the tight schedule of the president.
UAE-based Emery Group, which is embroiled in the controversial arrangement with the government of Ghana for the provision of power, has refuted claims it's engaged in a dubious deal. The Norwegian newspaper VG last week published that there could be a possible inflation of the cost of the Emery power plants by more than $200 million. The article further claimed Ghana is paying $510 million for 10 power turbines when the market value of the turbines is $220 million. In a statement, Emery says it stands by its agreement with the government of Ghana and believes the company assembled a world-class team of developers to accomplish the job on time and on budget. According to the statement, the tabloid's target of Omar Farouk not only wrongly portrays him as the owner of the company, but also tries to malign his character. The tabloid also reports that Mr. Farouk attempted to swindle the government of Ghana through the transaction by inflating the price of the contract. The statement said this report is a ridiculous claim since the contract was agreed upon by the Ministry of Power and thereafter ratified by Ghana's parliament with full pricing transparency. According to the statement, another falsehood is that Mr. Farouk on his own caused the transaction to occur. It said it is a matter of record that the sole owner of the above-mentioned company is His Royal Highness Sheikh Ahmed bin Dalmuk Juma Al Maktoum, member of the ruling family of Dubai, UAE. Emery Group is therefore threatening to sue the Norwegian for making false and slanderous accusations regarding the emergency power project agreement executed between them and the government of Ghana.
Soil scientists have raised a red flag saying Ghana's soils are in danger. This is because waste and illegal mining activities are killing the nutrients in the country's soil resources. They contended that there will be a national crisis if immediate steps are not taken to restore soils in Ghana. At a national symposium to mark International Year of Soil in Accra, soil scientists expressed worry over the way government neglects soil resources. They said governments and policymakers have forgotten the crucial role that soil plays in all aspects of life. Ritampa Bentete reports.
Many people see soil as dirty and most of the time do not want to associate themselves with it. This may be the reason why the usefulness of soils go unnoticed. Soil scientists say it is about time people promoted the importance of soil for the benefit of all. At the National Symposium to Create Awareness on the International Year of Soil, Dr. Amos Kwei of Cocoa Research Institute of Ghana charged government and waste managers to take bold decisions to address the country's waste challenges, which is affecting soil resources.
It's an attitudinal change. Now in homes, when we peel our kenke, we peel our yam, whatever we do, we should put those organic waste in one bin. We should put our plastics, pure water bottles, pure water things in one bin, and then the bottles in another bin. The waste collection companies should have different collection schemes where if they come to Accra Central, maybe on Wednesday, they are collecting only organic waste, and therefore they come for a bin that has only the organic waste. Government shouldn't have problem in structuring this. And people live in Accra, when they wait until it's going to rain, then they carry polythene bags and they throw these polythene bags into the gutter and they say the water should come and carry it away. Who would the water carry it to?
Another speaker at the event, also a soil scientist, Dr. Emmanuel Dugan, said the rate at which artisanal mining is impacting negatively on soils is alarming.
The future is bleak. If you continue like that, Chinese will not allow Ghanaians to go there and do galamsey or destroy their soil. Why do we have to allow them to come and destroy
our soil? Are we not concerned about our soils at all, though?
Leave it to the politicians. You see, as I'm telling you now, only few people have the opportunity to listen to me. And even out of the few who are it will surprise you that a very negligible percentage will want to use it. But let the politicians stand and talk. Let the president stand and talk about it. So virtually it becomes a policy.
So why don't you use the president to communicate your message to the people?
Well, now I'm saying if we draw the president's attention, can make a big issue out of it.
The president of the Soil Science Society of Ghana, Dr. Francis Tete, said the society is worried about the state of Ghana's soil and hopes that government and environmental partners will save the situation.
It's a big problem, and that is why I want to create this awareness. It's affecting productivity. Smallholder farmers are becoming poorer and poorer. That's why we say that the soil cancer. Every nation with poor soil have poor life.
The argument by the Soil Science Society of Ghana is that man cannot do without the benefits in soil. Food crops come from the soil, water bodies settle on the soil, and even after passing on to the other world, it is the soil that receives the demise. The society says policymakers should prioritize the importance of soil and take decisions that protect soils from future generations.
A report by Ritampa Bentete.
The Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Mahama Yar'Adua, has expressed displeasure at the rate at which foreign technology is imported into the country. He said this will hamper job creation and cripple the manufacturing sector. Ms. Yar'Adua asked Ghanaians to cultivate the habit of purchasing made in Ghana goods. He was speaking during a tour of the Kantanka vehicle factory in the central region. Nathaniel Nati has more.
The Safo Kantanka automobile franchise started over 40 years ago. With initial focus on research, the company spent the past decade producing the vehicles with plans to put them on the market. Earlier this year, the vehicles were launched in Accra. The models include the SUV and pickup trucks. The vehicles are produced with parts imported from partner companies, with the engines locally assembled. The company has a workforce of over 350, with all its engineers trained by the company. The firm produces over 100 vehicles a month, all of which goes through quality checks of international standard. The Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Mahama Yar'Adua, who toured the factory, had this to say after he had a test drive in one of the cars.
Very luxurious, very comfortable. There's absolutely no difference between this car that I've driven and any other car that I've driven before. And so I'm very proud that it has been assembled here in Ghana. In most countries that have developed automobile manufacturing industries, they began this way. Start with assembling, and then you work your way backwards to manufacturing some components of it, and ultimately targeting to manufacture a large percentage of the components of the vehicle. Indeed, even the countries that you see, Japan, Germany, and others, you'll be surprised to find out that it's not every component of the vehicle that is manufactured by the company. They source different components from different parts of the world to put a vehicle together. I have already instructed my chief director next year, if we are able to raise some money, to procure some vehicles from this assembly plant. I would like to personally use one here in Ghana, anywhere that I have to go to, every function, to be seen driving Kantanka vehicles.
The CEO of the company, Safo Kantanka Jr., lamented the huge tax the company pays.
We would need a lot of tax exemptions. I mean, we need the prices to be very, very affordable for, I mean, the middle class or even below, to purchase the vehicles for all kinds of purposes. We need a policy whereby there would be noted that certain number of vehicles would be purchased from Kantanka Automobile, for example, to the security forces, to the ministries, departments, and MDAs as well.
That was the CEO of Kantanka Vehicle Factory, Kwadwo Safo, and in a report by Nathaniel Nati.
The Ghana Trade Fair Company, in collaboration with the Savannah Accelerated Development Authority, has launched the 20th Ghana International Trade Fair in Accra, slated to take place in Tamale, the northern regional capital. The objective is to explore business opportunities in the Savannah zone. The board chairman of SADA, Adam Sule, at the launch, said organizing the trade fair outside Accra is a positive step by the Ghana Trade Fair Company. He said with Tamale being the fastest growing city in West Africa, the fair will also boost business in the northern region. A report by Jessica Isiedu.
The focus of the fair is 2 decades of international trade fair in Ghana, exploring business opportunities in the SADA zone of Ghana. The trade fair is aiding companies and individuals to exhibit their products to the northern market. The trade fair company is expecting over 100 exhibitors, both local and foreign, to take advantage of the fair. The board chairman of SADA, Dr. Adam Sule, said the northern region is a bigger half of the country and has agricultural opportunities.
This is an international trade fair. The scope is much broader than you say. SADA already had a similar forum this year in Tamale because an investment was foreign. So for me, there's a continuation of some of the good work that SADA is doing. Now, this is going to create several platforms. Typically, it's more of an investment and development effort to make sure that we can accelerate some level of development within the SADA zone. So it's not just about food, cuts across all the sectors. I'm sure with the opportunities that I mentioned, I'm sure most investors are going to be there looking out for opportunities in terms of infrastructure. And that is an area where there is a lot of potential for people to tap in.
The Chief Executive Officer of the Ghana Trade Fair Company, Dr. Erasmus Opotikoni, said the fair will create opportunities for Ghanaian companies desirous of expanding their operations up north to come along with the team. He again added that the Trade Fair Company, in partnership with SADA, is aimed at organizing the 20th edition up north, which will inure to the benefit of businesses and the nation at large.
So it's traveling out of the city center, Accra, for the first time. We have organized trips to do the 20th edition, and we are moving out of Accra. So for me, that is the most unique aspect of it. And moving out of Accra into the northern regional capital of Tamale, which connects a lot of the northern zone, as well as our traditional partners from the sub-region. Talk about Nigeria, talk about Mali, talk about Senegal, Burkina Faso, and beyond. I mean, most of them connect well into the northern regional capital. more than even traveling down south to Accra. So for me, the youthfulness is about bringing SADC on board and also getting closer to our traditional West African partners.
The fair is slated to take off on February 25th, 2016 to March 7th, 2016.
That was Jessica Siedu's report.
This is Radio Ghana News at 6, the major stories. 48th Ordinary Session of ECOWAS Heads of State and Government opens in Abuja, Nigeria. Official inauguration of car powership postponed due to technical hitches. Soil scientists say waste and illegal mining are putting Ghana soils in serious danger. Another wave of violence erupts at NPP headquarters, and U.S. Federal Reserve raises interest rates by 0.25%, a move likely to affect developing economies. Welcome back. There was another commotion at the headquarters of the opposition MPP when supporters believed to be sympathizers of the parliamentary candidate for the Kwale Klote constituency, Ninoy Norty, were beaten and chased away by the internal security known as Invisible Forces. Journalists, traders, passers-by, and supporters of the party ran helter-skelter to save their lives from the rampaging Invisible Forces, who would not leave anyone off the hook. A minibus with registration number GN2744Y, which brought the party supporters, was vandalized in the process. The sympathizers of Ninoy had besieged the headquarters of the party with placards to protest against what they claimed was a potential decision by the National Executive Committee to rerun the elections in the Kwale Klote constituency.
Vice President Kwesi Mensah-Arthur has stressed the need to demystify the education of the physically challenged. He said this provides an opportunity to progress for simply generating social protection for the physically challenged to embracing the development of equitable social, economic and cultural opportunities for them. Vice President Mensah-Arthur said this when he inaugurated the Supreme Sign Institute at Wija in Accra. He also advocated the training of sign language teachers in the country's College of Education so that the hearing impaired and the deaf and their able counterparts can ultimately sit in the same classroom and learn from the same teachers, Setaya reports.
The Supreme Sign Institute, also known as Hearing Impairment and Deafness Social Adaptability, has 22 students and 8 instructors. Two of the students are a policeman and a medical doctor. Vice President Mensah-Arthur assured the authorities of the institute of the government's support with staff and essential teaching and learning materials. Vice President Mensah-Arthur stressed the importance of sign language, citing the need to protect the indigenous sign language of the people of Adamrobe in the eastern region and the need for the country to develop its own sign language.
So while we continue to demystify the education of the hearing impaired, the physically and mentally challenged, this initiative provides an opportunity to progress from simply providing social protection for physically challenged people to embracing the possibility of developing an equitable social, economic and cultural development for physically challenged persons so that they are given the same opportunities as are available to the rest of us. And by so doing, this will contribute to the future where discrimination against physically challenged people become an anecdote of history. So the real life examples are such that even in health, doctors need to be trained, nurses need to be trained to improve their communication with the deaf people so that they can deliver better service for them.
The proprietor of Supreme Sign Institute, Newell Agbe, called on Ghanaians to learn sign language to make life bearable for people who are hearing impaired. It will also enable them to unleash their potential and contribute meaningfully to national development.
More than 260,000 people are deaf, according to the Joshua Project 2014, a phenomenon which impedes the development of their full potential and imposes a heavy social and economic burden on the country as a whole. We strongly believe that communication barriers should never, never stop people from reaching their full potential as society advances. May I also use this platform to appeal to all individuals and institutions in Ghana to take advantage of this opportunity and learn sign language in order to overcome the communication challenges their children.
The Greater Accra Regional Minister, Ni Afute Agbo, pledged to support the institute anytime the authorities called on the regional administration for help. Setia reporting for Radio Ghana.
Proceedings at the Accra Circuit Court were interrupted when an accused person, Charles Marty Colley, soiled himself at the entrance of the courtroom with human excreta. Marty, who has been accused of robbery, was brought before the court to be tried. Whilst in the courtroom, Marty started screaming, thereby disturbing proceedings. The police tried to control him, but to no avail. A decision was therefore taken to send the accused person out, but he fiercely resisted and bit anyone who tried to hold his hand. The police, however, succeeded in overpowering him and brought him out. Shortly afterwards, he defecated on himself, smearing the court's entrance with a human excreta. The unfortunate incident prevented people from entering the courtroom. He lay on the floor for more than an hour before he was covered with a cloth and carried away in a police vehicle. He will return to the court today.
The 48th Ordinary Session of the Heads of State and Governments of ECOWAS opened last night in Abuja, Nigeria. The meeting coincides with the 40th anniversary of the authority. All heads of the 15 member states, including Ghana's President John Dramani Mahama, were present at the event. In a brief opening ceremony before the president went into a closed session, host president Muhammadu Buhari said after 40 years of its inception, ECOWAS should begin to seriously tackle the rising acts of terrorism and religious extremism. Now to the foreign front. Hundreds of people have protested at the headquarters of the UN peacekeeping force in Bangui, Central African Republic, to demand the expulsion of people they termed enemies of peace from the city's main Muslim area. The protest came after 5 people were killed and 20 injured in an attack in the PK5 district last Sunday when a constitutional referendum aimed at ending 2 years of Christian-Muslim conflict was held. Pope Francis just appealed for peace, saying Christians and Muslims are brothers and sisters. And the U.S. Federal Reserve has raised interest rates by 0.25%, its first increase since 2006. The move is likely to cause ripples around the world and could increase pressure on the UK to raise rates. It could also mean higher borrowing costs for developing economies, many of which are already seeing slow growth. There are concerns that a raise will compound the slowdown, as higher rates in the U.S. could strengthen the dollar and currency for which many countries and companies borrow. It puts U.S. policy at odds with that in Europe, where even easier borrowing terms are being implemented. The European Central Bank earlier this month cut overnight deposit rates from -0.2% to -0.3% and extended a 60 billion euros simultaneous program.
And now to end the news, the main points again. The 48th Ordinary Session of the Heads of State and Governments of ECOWAS opened last night in Abuja, Nigeria. The meeting coincides with the 40th anniversary of the authority. All heads of the 15 member states, including Ghana's President John Dramani Mahama, were present at the event. The car powership, which is expected to generate 225 megawatts of power, has begun generating 140 megawatts of power from 7 out of the 10 turbines. A source at the Temba port told Radio Ghana that the 3 remaining turbines are expected to be fired on stream by next week, Friday. There was another commotion at the headquarters of the opposition MPP, where supporters believed to be sympathizers of the parliamentary candidate for the Clote Kwale constituency, Ni Noinoti, were beaten and chased away by the internal security known as Invisible Forces. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Nanamo Mari in Accra.